I want to talk to you again today, victory by faith. Number five, victory by faith. Action is required. And pay close attention, take notes. We must pray through to a noso faith, believe it, speak it, and act on it. At the very beginning, I said I'm believing God to heal everyone in this room, everyone that's listening by radio or watching by live stream. But sometimes the healing doesn't happen instantly. Sometimes you get a no-so in here, and you have to stand on it until it happens. Very often when I've been healed, I know God is healing me, but it's not instant. And so just because you don't walk away with an instant healing doesn't mean God is not working. But let's just pray we'll get healing, a miracle healing right now, or no-so revelation in us that we can stand on. And this is what I'm talking about. Once you get that, then you're not going to act on it. That no-so revelation inside. That's faith. Faith is a substance, an evidence. And so it's something that's real. Faith is not just something imaginary. It is real in your heart. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith that is not accompanied by action is dead. Faith and actions work together. One without the other is dead. Faith without action produces nothing. Faith without action without faith fails. Dottie and I had a no-so revelation from God, faith. We were supposed to come and start this church. We had to load the U-Haul, act in faith, and we came. Some other young preachers showed up about the same time, said Knox will be a great place to start a church. They didn't have faith, didn't have a revelation, didn't have a word from God, and they're not around. So action without faith. And that's what some Christians try to do. They try to act out healing, and it doesn't work that way. You get faith in you. You know God is healing, and then you act on that. Faith in you. Is that helping anybody so far? Okay, I'll keep trying. Just hang right there. James chapter 2, verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Okay. That's pretty plain. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. We show our faith by our actions and by our words. That's what we preached on that as well. And if we really believe it, it needs to come out of our mouth. Then it needs to be more than that. It needs to become action. Verse 20. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You can see Abraham's faith by what he did. Verse 22, you see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Faith and actions working together. We can claim faith, but true no-so faith produces action. When you're born again, if you got salvation faith, there's going to be some action automatically start taking place. You're going to have a love for God, have a love for His Word, have a love for His church, and have a desire to pray and get into the prayer closet and spend time with Him. I mean, salvation faith produces action. If you have faith in your heart that you're healed, that will produce action too. And you need to start acting on that faith. We'll hopefully make it more clear here in a minute. Verse 26, as a body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without deeds or without action is dead. If I have salvation faith, as I just said, it is going to produce some action. Yeah, it's going to produce a desire to pray and read the Bible and go to church and love people. If I believe God has called me to Knoxville, I will load the U-Haul. Amen. And that is really exactly the way it works. You pray through. It took us 3 months to be totally convinced that God wanted us here. And then it took action. If we had stayed in Lexington, we would have, I don't think God would have starved to death, but no one would ever heard of us. When you disobey God, he puts you on the back row and leave you. Okay. And you want to obey God. Yeah. Hear from God and do what He tells you to do. Yeah. And if you think, If God, for example, if God calls you to preach and you think you're getting away with something by not preaching, you're really hurting yourself. You're really hurting yourself. If I believe I'm healed, I will put on my pants and start doing something I couldn't do. Hey, if I really believe I'm healed. Nancy Jenkins Ziegler, Nancy Jenkins back then had a giant cyst the size of a grapefruit. It's about 40 years ago. The church is only about 2 years old. And I was preaching a message kind of like this. She heard me preaching, and she went to the doctor's office to get an examination, and she's reading that scripture where the fig tree wilted, and when she got there, it says the cyst wilted. And she, whoa, God has healed me. And so her family, she didn't want to have surgery. She didn't want to go to the hospital. Her family threw a fit. Oh, we don't want you to die. You got to go get this surgery. And so she went ahead and went. And during that time, I showed up at the hospital to pray for her. And she told me about the vision, said she knew that God had healed her. But they were still insisting and demanding that she have this surgery. I said, well, asked for a second opinion or another examination or another x-ray. And so, boy, she stood her ground. She refused to let them touch her until they did another x-ray. And then the doctor, of course, she asked the doctor, well, is the cyst still there? And he said, well, of course it's still there. He didn't look at the x-ray. Because cysts just don't go away. He was going by his medical knowledge, not by faith. That's why you and I got to take a stand for our faith. You can't expect the doctor to go by faith. He's got to go by facts. And so she was talking to the nurse and said, listen, I'm praying to God. And the nurse said, I'm a Christian too. And she said, well, I was praying this cyst going away, but this x-ray evidently didn't show it's gone. She said, oh, honey, the doctor hadn't even seen that x-ray. So she took a, y'all pay attention. She took a stand, said, tell him to look at the x-ray. So he finally looked at the x-ray, and that giant tumor had wilted down to the size of a grape. They canceled the surgery. What was left of the tumor totally disappeared, and that cyst, is a cyst, has never come back. That's about 40 years ago. That's what I mean. If you know God has done something in you, you got to act like you really believe it, you know, by making a stand. I want a second opinion. I want an x-ray, whatever. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God, thanks not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He said he could not see any physical evidence of an imminent flood. Wasn't raining. But Noah had a revelation from God. From God, and he believed it, and he acted on it. The evidence was inside him. It wasn't where he or anyone else could see it with their natural eye. That the evidence, a substance of evidence, was inside this man. It says at the beginning, by faith, Noah. By faith, substance, evidence. You see, he knew a flood was coming by faith, so he built the ark. And all the people laughing at him, but he built it anyway. And one day it started raining, the flood came, and he floated away with his family in his giant boat with a bunch of animals. And all the humans drowned. And I know people, well, do you really believe that? I know it happened. I don't believe it. And just in my head, I know it in my heart, that really happened. And this earth is about to be destroyed again very soon. And then we have a new earth. Can you say? Amen. Hebrews 11, 8. I know we laugh at us and call us nuts, but once that boat started floating away, those people didn't call Noah nuts any longer. Right. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. You see, he acted on the no-so word he had from God. And that's the way this church got here. Dottie and I had a no-so word. Finally, after a long time of praying and seeking God, then we acted on the no-so revelation just the same as Abraham did. And it works that way for all of us. Amen. After graduation from college, I felt I should go to seminary. My daddy told me even before I went to college, I don't have the money. He said, I have 8 kids. I don't have the money to send 8 kids to college, and so I'm not sending you. Okay. I mean, one excuse is just as good as another. Okay. Pretty good excuse, I guess. But I didn't want or need his help. I had God. But he did let me live in the house. So I lived in the house and drove to Shorter College down in Rome, Georgia, and got a better education there than I would have at one of these Ivy League schools. The classes were small, about 25 to 30 kids. I had undivided attention of the teacher. I could go into the teacher's office anytime I wanted to and get help. Can you say amen? And you might want to consider that if your kids are going to school, pick a little school. And they're not as likely to teach your kids, you know, there ain't no God. You see, I prayed about going to that college, and I went, and now I'm praying about going to seminary. And I prayed about going to the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Back then, there weren't any full gospel seminaries. That's a long time ago, right after World War I. And so I prayed about going to the Southern Baptist Seminary. And I prayed until I felt an inner witness. Let me say it that way. Maybe that makes more sense to some people. An inner witness. This is what God wants me to do. I got that inner witness from God that I should go. At 22, I loaded up my Chevy Nova, okay, and drove off to seminary about 500 miles away from my family farm. Never been away from home, I don't guess, overnight, forever. My whole life, and it was a nervous, exciting experience. I did not have the money, but I knew God would give me a good job. You know, a lot of times we make excuses. Hey, if God calls you, just go and let God give you the job. Let God work it out. Let God make it happen. Just know God said go. But if he says go, you got to go. And you might be thinking, what does this apply to? It applies to your family. Applies to your job, applies to your career. Don't do anything until you hear from God, and then you got to act on it. You say, well, this makes me nervous. This job is bigger than I thought. This new promised land is mine, is full of giants, but it's a great land, but I'm afraid to go in. That's where you got to make up your mind to trust God and go in. Amen. Take the job. Yeah. But you got to know first. Amen. This is where people get in trouble. They act without getting the faith. I worked my way through seminary, but more important, I met W.L. Rogers, who really mentored me in ministry. He didn't know it, and I didn't know it, but we were working together, but I was learning from him, and he's learning from me in some ways. But he really helped me in ministry, and there I met a brunette with brown eyes that became my wife, and she's back there in the children's church right now taking care of your kids instead of out here hearing this great, fabulous, wonderful message. It is a fabulous message because of the scriptures. Believe me, this works if you'll work at these scriptures. And not because of my eloquence, obviously. You see, I had an inner witness that God wanted me to go to Louisville, Kentucky, and I thought it was just seminary, but it was more than that. And so I had to act in faith and went. And when I went, I discovered not only did I get a good seminary at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, I also got a good training from an individual, good mentoring from a great pastor, and met a beautiful young lady that became my wife. It pays to hear and go. By faith, Barry went. By faith. Having a no-so word, believing it, and speaking it is not enough. We must act on it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them. I think I read this last week. A lot of times, scriptures apply in 3 or 4 different ways. So just because you heard it last week doesn't mean you've heard this message. You haven't. Okay. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them. Why? They didn't believe it. Now you can sit here and deny every one of these scriptures. Well, my last pastor said this. Well, you can sit there and do that, and you can miss the miracle God has for you. You have to believe the Word of God. And if your last pastor taught you things contrary to the Word of God, thank God he's your last pastor. The message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. You've got to believe what God is speaking to you. And I'm telling you right now, God is speaking through these scriptures. You can sit there in your brain and deny it, but if you open yourself up to God and let Him talk to you, you can leave here knowing that He's working a miracle for you. Amen. The children of Israel did not make it into the promised land. They did not, because they did not believe and act on the word they had. God is saying, here it is, this beautiful land. They brought back grapes, you know, great big grapes, you know, and all kind of vegetables and fruit. I mean, brought all this stuff back. They said, this is a fabulous land, but there are giants in there. I mean, you know, there's always giants in there. No matter what you do, the devil's going to stick some giants in there. But remember, you're a giant killer. You have the giant killer in you. You see, they had to believe the Lord enough to act, but they refused to act. We're not going in there and facing those giants. We'd rather just die out here in the wilderness. And God says, okay, that's what's going to happen. You're going to die in the wilderness. However, their children learned a lesson. Their kids. It says all of those, 20 and older, they wandered around in the desert until 40 years until they all died off. And then God says, okay, now Joshua's the new leader. I want you to take these people in. Now their kids said, okay, let's go in. Mom and dad could have done that. Well, what will be, will be. What will be if you don't pray and change it. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asks and keeps on asking receives. Who in the world said that? Jesus. Prayer changes things. Well, I don't have any faith. I'm full of fear and doubt and unbelief. You don't have to let that continue. You can get into the Word of God and build your faith. You can sit in services like this and hear a preached word from God. That'll build your faith. You see, their children believed and acted in faith and took their promised land, Hebrews 11:30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. After they were compassed about 7 days, the word was, that's the craziest battle plan I've ever heard, but how many know sometimes God's plan sounds nuts to the human ears? Okay. And they probably thought, this Joshua, we promised to follow him into the promised land, and now he's gone nuts on us. He wants us to walk around this city's walls once a day for 6 days. On the 7th day, wants us to march around it 7 times, blow a trumpet, let out a shout. And he really thinks these walls are going to fall down. But Mom and Dad blew it, so let's just give it a whirl. let's go in and do what the man of God has told us to do because God told him. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. After they were compassed about 7 days. Why did they compass it about 7 days? Because they were told to. They had to know so word from God. They didn't just hop out of the boat. They heard a word from God. Peter didn't just get out of the boat. He said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And God, and Jesus said, come. When he got out of that boat, he was walking on the word, on come. And when they walked around these walls, it wasn't something they just fabricated. Well, just name it and claim it. Just call things that are not as though they were. You can call things that is not as though they were if you hear God call it first. But then you got to do more than call it. You got to march around those walls. Yeah. Hebrews 11:30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. These young people acted, I call them young, they're getting some age on them by now. These young people acted on the word they had without any physical evidence. they marched around the walls, and the walls came down. I guarantee you, on the sixth trip around those walls, on the seventh day, there still wasn't a single crack in one of those walls. They had to do all that God said to do. They went around seven times, still no cracks. But then they had to blow the trumpet and let out a shout. And when they acted on the word they had, the walls came down. That's the way it works. Without any physical evidence, they marched around the walls and the walls came down. How do we know they had faith? Because they marched around the walls. They marched around the walls. You could see it in their action. I've seen a lot of Christians over the years, oh, I got faith, I believe this and I believe that. But they sit on do nothing. You sit on do nothing. They marched around the walls of Jericho because of a word from God that had been given to them through the man of God, Joshua. You see, we demonstrate our faith by acting on a word from God. Their parents suffered defeat because they would not act, but they heard a word, believed it, and acted on it, and went in and faced the giants. Little David had a no-so revelation inside him. He spoke it and acted on it. God allowed David to put his faith on display so we all could see he had faith. In Samuel chapter 17, verse 48, this day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And that's talking pretty big for a kid that didn't even have a knife on him. All he had was five rocks, but they were smart rocks. They were smart rocks. When he turned that rock loose, there was a guy in front of this giant with a shield. And that giant was, his total body was covered in armor except one little spot between his eyes. So I said, it's a smart rock. That rock went around that guy with his shield and discerned where that bear spark was between his eyes. And it went straight and hit him right between the eyes, and the old boy hit the dirt. The bigger they are, I'm told, the harder they fall. And he jumped on top of it and said, you don't mind if I borrow your knife, do you? And cut his head off. Samuel chapter, but look at his faith. Samuel 17, 46. But that didn't get his faith didn't get the job done until he acted on it. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. The way David defeated Goliath is the way we defeat Satan. You get a no-so word, no, it's God, and you charge him. You don't run from him. You don't run from his giants and his illusions, the big mountains. You charge him. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Don't forget that, with that name, in the name of Jesus. Doctor tells you you have cancer. You tell the devil, you back off. You get your hands off of me. You take your cancer and get out because I'm coming against you. Well, what if it's God's will for me to go to heaven? Well, then go ahead and go. We'll find something good to say about you. So he wore the prettiest shoes. He wore the prettiest ties. He had a beautiful head of hair. He had good sideburns. So he slung the stone, and it struck the Philistine on the forehead. You read it from verse 48. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him, to meet Goliath. He didn't run the other way like the children of Israel did, the older folks. He didn't run away. He ran straight at him. Don't you start running for the devil, you'll be running the rest of your life. Amen. Take him on. I'm not the one that says I give you authority to tread upon demons and devils. And power over all, and authority over all the enemy, over all the power of the devil. It was Jesus that said, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. So what's that? That's faith. You believe it, and you act on it. You tell him where to go. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. I'm just telling you how I win my battles. It might work for you, since it worked for all these people. Verse 49, reaching into his bag and taking out a smart stone. He was anointed the Holy Spirit. He slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David jumped on top of him, borrowed his sword, cut off his head. You see, David believed it, spoke it, and then he ran straight at him. But he wasn't just naming and claiming. He knew in his heart that he had this guy. You see, we can see David's faith by his words and what he did. See, we could have had a word to build a church in Knoxville and stayed in Lexington. That wouldn't have worked very well. 2 Kings 5:9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. This guy had leprosy. And he had a Hebrew girl that had been taken captive from Israel that was his servant. And she said to him, You need to find this prophet and do what he tells you to do. I'm radically paraphrasing, but that's the gist of it. Verse 10, Elisha sent a message to say to him, said he sent his servant with a message to Naaman. And he said, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. He said, I'm not doing that. That is the dirtiest river in the world. I will not do that. And his servant says, well, if he asked you to do something great, you would have done it. Why not do this? Why not act on the word of God? You see, he had to believe the word and act. And I'm telling you, there was no healing until he acted. At first, he refused. No, 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 I am not doing that. But then he said, what have I got to lose? You ever said that? What have I got to lose? All I got to lose is leprosy. Verse 14, so he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan River. On the 6th time, he could see his flesh healing. Is that what he says? Nope. That is not what he said. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan River. How many times? How many times was he told to do? Seven. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, not 6. I guarantee on the 6th dip, he couldn't see a thing because he had to act on the word. The word said 7. Is this good or not? If you're born again, you have enough knowledge of faith that you can recognize this is not too far off the mark. Because as a Christian, you have to live by faith anyway for everything. Not 6 times. As the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. As long as Naaman refused to act, he was not healed. I really hurt my knee. Now, this is the craziest thing. Don't you dare try it unless you got some scriptures in you on healing and you know it's going to work. I hurt my knee just as I was going to work out at the health club. I was going to run 2 miles. And the devil said, you can't, no way you can do that with that knee. I said, watch me, devil. It's just me and the devil. And Jesus. Yay. And I wasn't doing it for you because I didn't, you know, it was just me. I just need to run. And I said, God gave me a word, with his stripes I'm healed, and I'm running. I started running 2 miles on one leg. Okay. And you may not think that's so funny, but the people watching me probably thought I was crazy. I mean, there's people everywhere, and I'm going like this around the track. 2 miles. And as I began to get closer and closer to the end of 2 miles, God began to heal it. I began to be able to run on it. And by the time I got to 2 miles, I was running normally on both legs. And you might think there's something wrong with you. But when you get faith in you and you see it work when you act on it, your faith starts growing. And then you can act on a lot bigger things than just a knee. Like taking a new job or start building a new business. You're going to build a business today in America. This is still the best place to build a business. But even here, I'm guaranteeing you better have some faith and know that God's with you. And it's my job to get your faith pumped up and get you believing it so you'll go in and take your promised land. Joshua's job wasn't to be a big shot. His job was to take them into that promised land. I believe my job is to help you take your promised land. I do. And we've got some people in this church. Now, you can't measure everything by money. Matter of fact, I think that's probably the smallest measure. A lot of people do great things and wind up at the end of life without a lot of money. And money's not important to me. As long as I got enough money to take care of my wife, you know. And the two of us, it's all I care about. But there's people in this church, God has plans for you. I know the plans I have you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. And where you sit right now, you can't see anything other than what you've been doing. But it might just be that God has a vision for you, a dream for you, like little Joseph, that you haven't received until now. And when you get it, you got to act on it. But I can tell you right now, I can see a few already right now acting in faith. And if you keep standing, keep believing, keep obeying, you'll become probably a billionaire. Millionaire many times over, and a billionaire. Because God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing to his work. And here's another thing, too. He wants to bless you so these sinners around you can see the benefits that you're reaping by serving God. Amen. We're told, do not forget all the benefits. And people need to know the benefits. That's why we're here. We're here to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness. 2 Kings, verse 9. How many of y'all be upset if I don't serve communion? Okay. I'll get there. 2 Kings 5:9. So Naaman went down and dipped like he was told to do, and he was healed. Action. We can receive our miracle if we will act on the no-so revelation the Holy Spirit gives us. Mark 2:3, chapter 2, verse 3. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by 4 men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof. Now, what is this called? Called persistence. Faith will be persistent. If you know you have a word from God, you're not going to stop. A wall's not going to stop you. You're going to go through it one way or the other. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. Some people would have given up and walked away, and they would not have seen the miracle. So when they had broken through, they literally tore the roof off the house. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, what does that mean? Jesus saw their faith. Does Jesus see your faith? Does anybody see your faith? Does anybody see my faith? Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes I live it better than at other times. But when I live it, it works. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." He didn't come to get his sins forgiven. He came to get healed. But it was a necessary step. Need to get rid of those sins. And Jesus then said, "Well, because your sins are gone, now I'm going to heal you." He didn't say it like that, but he says, which is the greater? Thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up your bed and walk. I think I'm not paraphrasing that very well, but he said, pick up your bed and walk. And the fact that he was healed proved that Jesus had the faith, had the power to forgive his sins, because when the sin is gone, the sickness, the disease has no legal right to stay, because the only thing that gives the devil a right to you is sin. And when it's blotted out, he no longer has a right. I didn't come to preach that part. I got to get to communion. So get back on track, Pastor. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Then he healed him. Amen. To make it shorter. Acting in faith is tearing the roof off. Knocking the giant down with a rock. Running on one leg. Acting in faith. But you got to have the faith in you. The substance, the evidence. Acting in faith is tearing the roof off to receive what you have been believing and what you have been promised. You see, like Abraham, he was promised a son. He got it. He was promised things, and he received it only by faith through action. You see, these men were acting on their faith. Jesus saw their faith because he saw their actions. He sees your faith because he sees your actions. The Lord sees our faith in our actions. We see people's faith by their actions. John chapter 4, verse 49. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. Now, what's this guy supposed to do? Don't have cell phones. He can't call and check on him. So he just goes home. Why? Because he believed Jesus Christ. And when we hear from God, we got to believe him enough to do what he tells us to do. Go. Go. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. He didn't just go believing on his own. He had a word. You can pray, do you get a word? I'm believing God's saying you're getting words right now about jobs and careers and children who need miracles and education and all kind of things and healing and deliverance. You see, he believed the word and acted on it, verse 51. And his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. But you see, this man acted in faith. He was healed the same hour. Notice this man was not just naming and claiming. He had a personal word from Jesus. Go your way, a rhema no so word. Jesus spoke and he acted. We need to pray until we hear a word, then go our way believing. We can get our own personal word from the Lord. You can get a word right now that thing is healed, that's tormenting you. You may not see all the result right now, but you can have no so revelation in you, but you must believe it, speak it, never contradict it with your tongue, and then start acting on it as much as you can. Acts 8, verse 13, and Jesus said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very moment. This soldier received a word, this centurion, this officer in the Roman army of all things, had faith in Jesus Christ. And when Jesus said, go, he went. This centurion, Roman soldier, had more faith in the words of Jesus Christ than some of us. This soldier received a word from Jesus. He believed it. He acted on it. And his servant was healed the minute Jesus said, go. Of course, he didn't know it. He didn't have a cell phone or anything. But when he checked it out, he was healed right then. But he had to go. He sealed it with his action going. He did act on it before he knew, because he believed Jesus. It is required that we act on our faith. Nancy Jenkins Ziegler, you say, why you keep talking about all these miracles? Because she worked with me. And I had to get her healed so she could work. I was motivated. That's not the truth. I would have prayed for her to be healed if she did work for us. Nancy, let me pray. I'll get serious and get this done. Nancy Jenkins Ziegler, one of the executive assistants. He used to call them secretaries. And I realize these are not, I don't know what these people are, but they're not secretaries. Yay. I mean, they do great things around here. And one of our executive assistants had a very bad accident with her Jeep. This has been about 20 years ago. I think it was 2004. Her right leg, I believe it was the right leg, was crushed. And when it healed, it was about an inch and a half shorter than the other one. There's people here who saw this. When I heard about this, the Lord said to me, I didn't make it up. I didn't just start naming and claiming and calling things that are not as though they were. The Lord spoke to me and he says, I am going to grow that leg out. And like any country boy, I just got up and said, God's going to grow that leg out right in front of the whole church. And the devil says, you nut. That leg's not going to grow out. And you're going to be known as a false prophet. About a year after the accident, the Lord said to me on a Sunday night, he said, tonight is a night. I think I was standing right here. And she's sitting way back here in the back. And I said, tonight's the night, call her up. And I'm telling you the truth. She came like this. She waddled. And she really gets mad at me because I said she waddled like a duck. I just hope she's not watching my live stream right now. But you did. You wobbled like a duck. Why? One leg was an inch and a half shorter than the other. And the Lord said, tonight's the night. So I called her up and had her sit in a chair right there. And people like Stan Watkins and Chuck Lester and about 7, 10, 12 others come running up. They were not going to let the pastor pull anything on them. They were going to watch. Right, Stan? And so I just held her. He said he's going to grow a leg out, and I want to see it myself. And guess what? He didn't tell her anything. I was the only one that had that word. She didn't have the word. And I didn't even pray. I put her feet like this in my hand, and sure enough, one was about that much shorter, about an inch and a half. And all I said was, Jesus, in that language. Right, Stan? Chuck? Who else saw it? Who else saw it? Rosie, John Uchai. Hey, you may not believe anybody here, but you're going to believe John Uchai. Amen. Yay. And I said, wow, God did it. Nancy said, what? She had no word at all on it. She was totally shocked, wasn't she? Because God gave me the word. Listen, when you're praying for other people, you better get a word on it. I prophesy in the name of Jesus, you're going to be healed. You're going to be accountable to God if they're not healed. And you better not be prophesying like that unless you know God has told you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The devil's telling me, don't you do it, don't you do it. You're going to be embarrassed, don't you do it. But instead of being embarrassed, we got a great miracle. Luke 17:12, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. I just read this the other day, but reading it with a little different emphasis. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go. There's that word go again. Action. Go, show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Why? Because they knew what he meant. When a leper was cleansed, they would go to the priest to let the priest verify the leprosy was gone, and then they could get back in the community. And so they believed they were healed, even though they still had leprosy all over them. And as they acted in faith, how to get faith? The word of the Lord Jesus Christ said go. And so as they went, the leprosy began to disappear. By the time they got to the priest, they were healed. How do I know that? Because one came back and thanking Jesus, and Jesus says, well, weren't 10 healed? Where's the other 9? Why aren't they coming back to thank me? But the point is, all 10 were healed because all 10 acted. Let's stand.